Well, while the folks are out soaking in the sun, we're getting equipped. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, I heard a... Have you guys ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke, famous evangelist, has ministered to millions of people through his crusades and different things through the countries of the world. One thing that I remember Reinhard Bonnke, he shared a testimony one time about when he first started preaching about, and this is kind of a solemn story to start things out with, so I apologize, but he was preaching the gospel, and he's an evangelist. So his goal is for people to see who Christ is, to be able to respond to Christ and enter the kingdom of heaven, to really get people saved by the good news, amen. And obviously that should be our goal all the time, but that's what he does. That's what God's called him to do. And he was speaking one time, and I can't remember how he put it, but he talked to someone before and shared the message, and then he talked to them afterwards, and they didn't quite get it. They just didn't quite understand it. It didn't really resonate with them. They were having a hard time really comprehending the gospel. And then that night, he heard about that person was headed home, and they got in a moped accident and died. And he said the Lord convicted him with such power that day that he basically made a promise that every time he shared the gospel, it would be so simple, no one could misunderstand it. And yeah, because and you, nowadays, I mean, who has one of these in their pockets? Turn it on silent. Tricked you. No, but I mean, these it used to be. I mean, in the 80s. Used to be you'd have a brick because you needed a phone to make a phone call. Now, not so much. Now, we all want computers in our pockets to do computer things. And honestly, some of us couldn't even care less if it had a phone or not. We'd take, you know. But the reason why those things and all of our gadgets and gizmos can work is because the way that everybody knows what data is, it's just numbers. It's just nothing. It's just jargon. If you don't present data in a way that makes sense, it will mean nothing. It will mean nothing. Because this is everything that happens on these things is just ones and zeros. In sequential order. It's just computer code. It's 1000100100. It's like millions of just numbers. It's just data. And it's meaningless unless you put it together in a way that makes sense. Just like an artist, if he buys a bunch of paint, he doesn't make a masterpiece just because he has all the paint. Because it matters how you present it. It matters how you present it. And that really changed my life. I was actually training at one of my old jobs that I'm going to talk about today. This employee who was a believer told me I was taking his job and he was training me in before he left. And I was taking his job and he said, you know what? All this data is meaningless unless you present it in a way that people can understand. And he was talking about the computer stuff I had to do at work. And instantly the Lord just went on the back of my head, and I was like, ugh, wow, that's profound. All this data doesn't mean much to people unless we present it in a way that they can understand. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important, because the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to what the Word says. So Reinhard Bonnke, he made a commitment. I'm gonna make it clear. I'm gonna make it simple. I'm gonna make it easy to respond. So don't you love it when you're looking at the Bible and it gives you an if-then statement? Basically, it says, if you do this, then this will happen. And you're like, I got it. I can understand that. It's clear as day. It's black and white. I got it. I love when the Word says, does that, because it's simple and it gives us the tools. Amen? So when you're doing something and you're faced with a nail, what do? You go get a hammer. If you need to cut some wood, what do? You go get a saw. I mean, when you got a screw to tighten down, what do you get? A screwdriver, whatever you need. You get the right tool for the job, and it's clear the tool you need. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to put another tool in your toolbox today. Amen? So, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 3, we're going to go all the way through verse 11. I'm in the NLT translation today. Verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who calls us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, if then, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things that you never fall away, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just come before you, God. We know that we can do nothing apart from you. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and anoint the word this morning. God, as we look at your truth, I pray that you would equip us and that you would supplement our faith, that you would build us up in our faith and our resolve to pursue you with everything we have. Lord, I just speak against any attack of the enemy that would be coming against any of us this morning. Lord, we ask that your truth would set us free and equip us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, so today we're going to look at the promises of God and really how we receive them. It's my hope that we would leave here today, every one of us, we'd leave here today more equipped to receive all that God has for us. And I really think it can happen, and we're going to grow into a more effective and fruitful believer. Amen? Even not just for your walk with Christ, but I think it's pretty fair to say we all would like to be a little bit more effective and fruitful. Is that fair to say? It'd be kind of weird if you didn't want to be a more effective and fruitful person, or kind of sad, I should say. It wouldn't be healthy. And this passage quite literally promises if you are faithful to grow in these areas, you will become a more effective and fruitful believer in Christ. That's amazing. So we're going to look at that. So, but first, have you ever bought something from somewhere that you've had to assemble? It's a love-hate relationship. Let's just say that. See, IKEA furniture? Anybody? A grill? some sort of appliance. I mean, you name it. We've all, I think, bought something that we've had to assemble, and it's either driven us crazy or it's been a pretty good experience. But doesn't it drive you crazy when a part is missing? You get halfway through your grill, you're all stoked. You bought the steaks, you marinated the ribs, you smashed the burgers, and screw A32 is missing, and your entire grill and weekend plans are out of the window. See, you can't finish if something's missing, or you have to figure it out, and then you get really crazy. Worse yet, if something's broken, you have to return it, you have to call the manufacturer, you have to return the item, and the joy and the thrill of your new thing is just crushed because you can't follow through, because something's missing. It's incomplete. When we get a product, we want everything to be there, and the frustration and disappointment that comes when something is missing or broken can drive a person insane. At least it drives me insane. Window into the heart of Tony. So, about 4 years ago, I worked at a company called Polytex, and we did greenhouse manufacturing and all different kinds of stuff. And I worked in the office at this time around 2011 to 2013. I worked in the office. And if you ever have purchased a Paul Ram greenhouse and needed help, that was my phone number for North America. That was my phone number. So I'm sorry if I didn't get back to you. Our voicemail box could only fit 30 people, and every Monday I would walk into the work with dread and fear and loathing in my heart, and I would see that little red light, and I would answer the phone, and I'd grab my notepad to take down the voicemails and click the voicemail button. That nice lady who wasn't very nice, who I hated dearly, would say, "You have 30 voicemails," and because that's all it could hold. I didn't really hate the automated lady, but it was a terrible experience when you're behind that far. But what would happen is people would call because they need help assembling their backyard greenhouses. And there was one day a gentleman called, and he was mad. He was really, really mad because we shipped him 8 pieces of the wrong part, and now he can't complete his greenhouse. So I asked, because I knew the manuals. It was my job to know how to put these together and walk someone through it over the phone. So we got really good at knowing how to do everything and what everything was, and I knew all the parts inside and out. And this guy was missing 8 996s, 8 of them. And because we were such a joke of a company, to dumb down what he said, we sent him 966s. Some of you are catching on. And he was mad, and I think he was cussing me out. I blocked it out of my memory. But I, after letting him vent and apologizing all over myself, I got to the point where I had to break it to him. And I said, "Sir, do you think there could be? I know we messed up, but do you think there could be the possibility that?" You're just reading the number upside down? And there was silence. Silence. Oh, it looked like I got everything. Thanks, bye. Man, that was satisfying. That was satisfying. I got off that call and I'm like, what an idiot. No, but I didn't do that. But see, if we all answered honestly, we sometimes approach the promises of God this way too. Like the frustrated greenhouse guy. We take a look at the directions for a maximum of about 2 seconds, and then we throw them out the window. We try to do half of it ourselves when we're not supposed to do it ourselves in the first place. And then we think something's missing and get all frustrated because it's not working the way it should, when our perspective is just literally flipped upside down. Isn't that true? If we're really honest with ourselves, We've all been there at one point or another. See, but what does the Bible say? Are we really missing anything from the promises of God? No. Because verse 3 and 4 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. How much? What are we missing? What has he given us? Okay. What's the goal? A godly life. Life in godliness. He's given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received, continuing on, we have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires or lust of the flesh. So what are we missing? Nothing. Nothing. We literally have everything we need for life and godliness. See, we have everything we need. God's promises are in full. In full. And they're here for us to live a godly life. By his divine power and our relationship with him, when we're walking in relationship with him, everything is in the box. Amen? There's nothing missing. Nothing is missing. And we have an invitation to receive that this morning. We have an invitation to look at the truth, look what the truth says, return to the directions, and find out, oh, I really can complete what I started. You know, one of my favorite verses, it says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's faithful to complete the work that he started. For me, that means a lot because to my own admittance, I start a lot of projects. And there's like a 30% or less completion ratio. Sorry. But we receive all these, how? How do we receive it? The Bible says we receive these promises by faith. Romans 4:16, so the promise is received by faith, it is given as a free gift of grace. Amen? We receive promises by faith. God's promises are there for us. They're there. We have everything we need. So when something isn't quite working out, where do we think the breakdown is? You know what I'm saying? Is there an issue on the promises of God? I think we can all agree that God has no issue. Or is there possibly an issue in our ability to walk in faith to receive those promises? So this, I don't want this message to be a try harder message. It's not like, just put more faith on it. You know, sometimes God legitimately says no to certain prayers for a good reason. But it's an encouragement that if we're faithful to stir ourselves in the faith, God's promises are going to come through because they're promises, not just suggestions, okay? So if our faith is most often what hinders us, what do we need to do? When something is at a deficit or lack, one thing you can do to help is to use a supplement. A supplement. I called Jason Preble because he likes the gym and Arnold. And when you're weightlifting, you take supplements so your body can respond to the work that you're doing at the gym. And so I called him and I said, Jason, explain to me what a supplement is. And I mean, I had a general understanding, but I wanted to hear it from him. And he said, basically, in a nutshell, a supplement, because our bodies don't get everything that they need, because usually our diet is so poor and the nutrients that we're fully getting in our bodies is such at a lack and such at a deficit, you need supplements to make up and fully round out your body and your nutrition that you need for a healthy body. And in the case of weightlifting, to really respond to the work that you're doing at the gym. So our diet, for instance, if it's terrible, what do? You take vitamins, you get more calcium, you eat Cheerios to lower your cholesterol, as the commercials say. Just kidding. If we do not have a well-balanced diet or the proper nutrients we need to take a supplement to round it out. Amen? It fills it out, it completes it, it enhances it. A supplement means to add on, to enhance, to fill in. I mean, in verse 5, it says, in view of all this, we're talking about the promises of God now, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. Supplement your faith. So what is that implying? Our faith is at a deficit, and we need to supplement it with these things in the Word of God so we can more fully encounter, participate in, and receive the promises of God. Amen? So Peter says, guys, we need God's promises in our lives, and here are some things that you can do to supplement your faith to really dive in and receive them. So we're going to really quick look at 7 ways we supplement our faith. And what's awesome is verse 8, the promise of this, when we're faithful to do this, verse 8 says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all said we want to be productive and useful. We want God to use us, and these things allow that to happen more fully. So first thing, moral excellence. And we're gonna touch on this. I want you guys to be able to have this list. So if you're taking notes, let's write these down. Because this literally has a promise. Number 1, moral excellence. Moral excellence is defined as a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action. Moral goodness. I know that's kind of vague, but it's the same word referenced in Philippians 4:8. We know this from our kids singing on the stage. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's the first step to supplementing your faith and making sure your faith is healthy, is moral excellence, having moral excellence. You will not have faith if all you think about is garbage. Is that fair to say? We're not going to really to see the kingdom come and see God move if all we're thinking about and filling our mind is garbage. Unbelief isn't the opposite of faith. It's just faith in the wrong thing. And I'll say that again for free. Unbelief is not the opposite of faith. It's just putting faith in the wrong thing. When we have faith in what God can do, we're stirred up, we're empowered, we're able to move mountains, Jesus says. But unbelief is basically faith that God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. It's more faith that God can't do what he says he does than the opposite. You know what the opposite of faith is? Certainty. Isn't that crazy? It's pride. It's prideful confidence. Because you don't need... When you think you know the right answer, you don't need faith. But faith is the substance of things not seen but hoped for. Amen? It's not unbelief. Unbelief is just the wrong place. This is a character thing. Moral excellence is a character thing. We want to be about what God is about. We want to have his character. God's character is virtuous. It's morally excellent. See, moral excellence, it's not just thinking happy thoughts. I mean, sometimes we read Philippians 4:8, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, commendable, whatever is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we're like, Okay, I don't know what that is, so I'm going to go on YouTube and look up cat videos. It's like, because that's not bad. And we have this neutral, weird idea of what good things are because we're so tainted by bad things. And our you don't have to go far to find some garbage to look at. Or something that's going to tank your faith. It's not happy thoughts, it's thinking about the excellencies of God. Amen? Who God is, what he does, those are good things. Amen? So second thing is knowledge. First thing is moral excellence. Second thing is knowledge. We need to supplement our faith with knowledge. This literally refers to the idea of just general knowledge. Do you know what the word says? Not only do you know what the word says, but do you know what the promises of God are in Christ? Do you know the promises of God? Part of supplementing our faith is making sure we know what the word says. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge." It's what it says. So people are literally perishing because they just don't know. And sometimes people walk through their life in bondage to certain sins and infirmities and different things because they simply just don't know that Christ wants to set them free from that. Amen? And we need to know what the word says, because if you don't know, you can't activate your faith towards something. If you don't know that God heals the sick, you're never going to believe for the sick to be healed. If you don't know that God can bring joy where there's mourning, you're never going to believe God in your time of mourning. If you just don't know, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is dangerous. And I'm talking about ignorance of the Word of God. There's a whole lot of evil I'm happy to be ignorant about. So it says, and even the Word says, be ignorant towards evil. So there's that. Third point is self-control. We've got moral excellence, knowledge, and self-control. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Do they control you, or are you controlling them? This is a process, obviously, that we have to walk out in our lives. But faith is not controlled by emotions or fleshly desires. And it's self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. If we need it, we can ask for it, and God will manifest it in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." Amen. He's provided it for us. The disciples were in the boat. You remember when the storm came and Jesus was asleep in the boat? The disciples came and said, and they cried out to God, and basically they freaked out and said, "Jesus, we're all going to die." And what did Jesus say to them? "You have little faith." He didn't say, "Ah, guys, it's okay. Just calm down. I got it under control." Like, he said, "Don't you guys have faith?" Like, and he actually asked them, "Why are you so afraid?" It's like, well, I mean, I don't know about, I can relate with the disciples. If I am on the verge of thinking I'm literally going to die, I would not expect Jesus to say, "Why are you so afraid?" It's like, well, because I'm about to die. Like, isn't that a generally accepted reason to be afraid? Death? But no. No, because we have a faith that goes way beyond even the power of death. Amen? See, Jesus said, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" We need to supplement our faith in this area so we can fully receive the promises of God. Self-control. There are going to be times when our emotions may be screaming against what the decision of faith might be. But God wants us to do what we do by faith, and self-control carries us through that. Amen? Fourth one. We've gone through moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. Number four is perseverance. Matthew 24:10-13 says, "At that time," Jesus is talking, "at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because of lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. See, it's not always going to be easy, and people may want to quit, but we have to supplement our faith. We need to make up for any deficit that there is. We need to supplement our faith in this area so we persevere. Amen. Philippians 3:4 says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of Christ and God, of God and Christ. One of our overseers, Pastor Mike, was sharing a story one time, and it really resonated with me because Pastor Mike was early in the, I don't know when it was in his ministry and pastoring, and pastoring for a really long time. Pastor Mike Free in Milwaukee. And he was telling a story one time about how he just wanted to quit. He was tired, he was weak, he was weary, and he just wanted to quit. He couldn't handle it anymore. And so he called his spiritual father, Apostle Jim Clark, who was an amazing man who went on to be with the Lord. But he talked to Brother Jim, and he's just, Apostle Jim, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do. And for those of us who know Pastor Mike, he is like the most encouraging person I've ever met in my entire life. If there's anybody who can tell you you can do it, it's Pastor Mike Free, and it's just amazing. So the fact that he was at this place just it surprises me, but. It's a real place that we all could get to and probably will get to someday. And he was pouring out his heart and to Brother Jim, and he's just saying, I can't do it anymore. It's too hard. Everything that's happened, I'm thrown in the towel, Pastor Jim. I just can't do it. And Jim Clark said, well, Mike, I know how you feel, but, you know, there's just nowhere to throw that towel. So you might as well just hold on to it and keep on trucking. And I don't think he said keep on trucking, but he did say there's just nowhere to throw it. And isn't that true? When the crowds left Jesus and Jesus looked at them and said, are you guys leaving too? And they just kind of probably, I just can imagine, they probably looked at each other and looked at the people leaving and looked at Jesus, and they just said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Where else are you going to go? And you know what? That story resonated with me so much because I felt like that before. Like, God, I just want a break. How many of you guys know sometimes a break is the most appropriate thing, and sometimes a break is the worst thing you could do? Because sometimes you need to take a break and recharge your batteries, but sometimes it would just be one more swing of the bat and you would hit a home run. And there are so many times where us as Christians, it's like running a marathon. How many miles is a marathon? 26.2. Literally, to put this in an example, oftentimes as Christians, we run 26 miles and we sit there and we're like, I am so tired of this marathon called my walk with Christ, and I am beat up. People don't appreciate me. People blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Oftentimes, it's a very legitimate thing. But we are 0.2 miles from the finish line. You have gone 26 miles, and you can see it. You can see it. You could walk there. You could have someone push you over there. You could roll there. And it's ridiculous, but we trade our inheritance and the prize and the reward of Christ so many times just because we're tired and we don't want to do it anymore. And God's saying, you're right here. I could kick you across the line. And you know what? The very first word of this passage is by his divine power. By his divine power. Do we do this on our own? No. How do we have everything we need for living a godly life? By his divine power. Okay, so he gives us his divine power. Then what? Now do we have everything we need? Well, yes, but we receive. How do we receive all this? Continuing on in verse 3, it says, we received all this by coming to know him. That's how we receive it. He's given us his divine power, and we receive it by knowing him and walking with him and doing life with him and not leaving his side. Amen? God calls us into covenant relationship. He doesn't just give us some things and say, run along, live life the best you can. Here's my power. We're called to persevere. Whenever you feel like giving up, just remind yourself, there's nowhere to throw this towel. There's nowhere to throw it. And get along people, brothers and sisters in Christ, that'll strengthen you. And you know what? There was a time that Moses was in the wilderness that literally two people had to come alongside him and physically hold up his arms. And if you are feeling like dropping everything, dropping your relationship with Christ, dropping everything that you're living for, call someone. And even if we have to come and physically pick you up, you're going to finish this race in Jesus' name. Amen? That's why it's so important to be part of a body of believers. Next point, godliness. Godliness. This is obviously referring to general reverence and respect towards God, but this really speaks more specifically to walking with God. To walking with God and being aware of his ever-present influence in our lives. Godliness. When we realize we're held in the hands of God, it should impact the way we live our lives. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, physical training is good. Pumping iron is a good thing. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Amen. Moving on, number 6 is brotherly kindness. Number 6 is brotherly kindness. We have to supplement our faith with brotherly kindness. In order to fully achieve a well-rounded, healthy faith, we need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. So much so where the Bible commands us not to forsake the assembly of believers. So much so in 1 John it says, if you claim to love God yet hate your brother or sister, the love of God is not in you and you're lying to yourself. That's what the Lord says. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to do this, to walk this out. We encourage one another, we build one another up, we pray for one another, we celebrate with one another, we mourn with one another. We go to battle spiritually for one another. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with a genuine affection. Can we all just agree that we're not going to be surfacey at church? You know, if you ask someone how they're doing, can you just mean, how are you doing? If you just want to say hello to someone, just say hello. And I think as Minnesotans, we go, hey, how you doing? But we really don't want to know how you're doing. It's like, hey, please just say good and leave me alone. I don't want to know. But can we at church, can we just, if you say how you're doing, can you really care how someone's doing? And at church, can if someone asks you how you're doing, can you really tell them how you're doing? In an appropriate environment. We're called to love one another. It says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, but we don't need to write to you. This is amazing. The writer of Thessalonians, Paul, He says, we don't even need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. We could skip it because it is so important. It should just be like breathing. I don't need to tell you and remind you to breathe because it's really kind of required for living. See, we don't even need to tell you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. It's so important that Paul dismisses it. He says, that is so basic, I don't even need to talk about it. And that should be the heart of us at this church and with really everyone, that it's so basic that we love each other. And you know what? Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? We need brotherly kindness. That was number 6. Number 7, the last one. And this isn't in a sequential order, necessarily. It's not an order of importance. But number 7 is love. And this love, in Greek, this is referring to agape love, which is the kind of love that God shows us. God's love is so far beyond just our candid, hey, I love you. You know, we cheapen that word oftentimes. I mean, we say we love cheeseburgers, and we say we love all kinds of things. But when God says he loves, it's because that is his nature. Because he is love. He is the source of love. Not just enjoy. God doesn't enjoy us like, man, that guy's just great. So is that cheeseburger I had last week. You know, that's not what God's talking about. God's love, God loves because that's who he is. And we've been called to do the same. We've been called to love others in that way. So many times, we would be full of faith for others if we only loved the way that God loves people. Jesus looked on the masses and he had compassion for them because he was God, because his nature was love. And when we have the love of Christ operating in our lives, we're able to look past all the junk in someone's life and say, you know what, I'm with you. I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to do my best to help raise you up. Amen. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These are your multivitamins, okay? This is your protein shake that gives you the beefy faith, okay? We need faith to receive the promises of God. Quickly, just to wrap up, it's verse 8, it says, the more you grow. Everybody say, the more I grow. The more you grow in this, the more we grow in this, the more productive and useful we will be in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal, folks. That's our goal. We want to be productive. We want to be fruitful. We want to be that person where anyone, you know, when you come up to a fruitful tree, it's just there. It's just available. You can just glean off of that. You can walk up to an apple tree and pick off a satisfying, good, nutrition-filled apple, and it's just the best. And that's how God wants us to be to other people in our lives. He wants us to be fruitful, that people could come to us and we can be so full of faith, we can just pick them right up with us. Amen? On the contrary, verse 9 says, but those who fail to develop in this way, if you just ignore your multivitamins, one of the most ironic bits of wisdom my dad has given me amongst a lot of things, he goes, unlike your problems, if you ignore your teeth, they'll just leave you alone. We don't want to ignore these things, okay? Let's make it as important as brushing our teeth. We don't want to ignore these things. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, They can only see the things in front of them, or they can't see it at all. They just have their eyes on worldly things and not really at the things that matter. They're short-sighted or blind. They can't see it. Forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. When we're not faithful to grow in these areas and really apply them to our faith, it's like we forget that we're even saved. It's like we forget that Christ even died and paid for our sins. That's how important growing in our faith is, because through faith we receive the promises of God. And then just to close, it says, so, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Work hard. Do works get us into heaven? No. No. But work hard that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things that you will never fall away. Isn't that amazing? That's a promise in the Word, that if we do these things, it says we're never going to fall away. That's crazy. That's awesome. You worried about slipping and falling? Do these things. Do these things, and you'll never fall away. Okay? And it says, then God will give you a grand entrance. Have you guys seen the movie Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe? Man, I know it's Disney, and I know it's kind of like, can be cheesy or whatever, but when they won, and they went on that parade, man, I was crying. Because the saints are going to go marching in. Someday, our King of Glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords, is going to not only parade the enemy in their shame and defeat, but he's going to parade the saints that he paid for through those pearly gates. And all of heaven is going to go nuts because the Lamb is worthy. And what he did on the cross is the most significant act ever in human history, because it's about redeeming created beings to God forever and eternity. God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's amazing. How is the Lord speaking to you about these things in your life? Maybe you're taking 6 of your 7 vitamins. 7 days a week. 7 days a week. 7 vitamins, 7 days a week. 24/7. We need to be focused on this, because by them we're going to be an effective and fruitful believer. Amen? He doesn't want you blind. Sometimes we think that, but that's not the will of God. Sometimes we feel like that. You know what? Because sometimes when you have way too much caffeine, you crash and you feel like garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes we just got to realize we've been eating too much garbage. And we need to humbly say, Lord, I need a supplement to get me back on track. Amen? Let's stand together. Seven things. And I would encourage you, pick one of these. Put action to this. Put action to this. Pick one of these. If there's one of these things that really spoke to you, like, God, I really need to grow in that. I really need to grow in that. Pick one. Pick one and focus on it. Camp on it. Look in the Word. Look in the Word and find out. Find out the knowledge. Maybe it is knowledge. Maybe you need to read the Word. But if it's something else, perseverance, for instance, go to the Word. There are so many verses about how we can persevere in our faith towards Christ. Amen? We have everything we need for life and godliness by His divine power. Let's say it together. I have everything I need. One more time. I have everything I need. In and of myself? No. No, you don't. We'll never have in and of ourselves godliness. But by His divine power, He's given it to us as a free gift of grace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you that you're committed to us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you're faithful to us. We thank you for your blood that speaks a better word than our own works, God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that you're virtuous. Lord, we thank you that you persevered. Lord, we thank you that it was for the joy that was set before you that you endured the cross because you were making us children of the Most High God and you were redeeming us to yourself, Lord. God, we thank you that beyond our wildest dreams, you are for us. Lord, that even in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, you were walking in the cool of the day looking for Adam. Lord, you knew where he was, but you were initiating that relationship. Father, thank you that you sought us, that you chose us, that you came after us. Lord, and I pray that you would just call to remembrance in our hearts, Lord. Let us remember your faithfulness, God. And in any area that our faith is at lack, God, I pray that you would supplement it by these things, that you would strengthen it, that you would fill it out, that we could fully walk and receive the promises that you have for us. Lord, and I just pray for those who don't know you, God, that have never committed their lives to you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would be speaking to their hearts, that there's a better way. That there's a better way, that you provided a way that we could be forgiven of our sin, that we're in debt before you, but your blood has paid our price. Father, I pray that you would use these as equipment to fuel our faith, that we would be more fruitful and effective in everything we did. Lord, and I just pray that you would use us to share your glorious name with our friends, with our family, with places of influence that we have, whether our jobs or schools or workplaces, whatever it is. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Have a